Our next speaker said he wanted to be introduced as a fine fellow because he's got a lot to say. So here's a fine fellow, Bob Keating, coming from Colorado, Holland and Hart. Bob, take it away, man.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Bob Keating. I am here to talk to you about what's going on right now with limited partners and self-employment tax. And to get a feel for it, I'd appreciate just a quick show of hands. How many of you are actually in the course of putting together LLCs and limited partnerships? How many of you are concerned or worrying about self-employment tax or SECA? How often does it come up? Okay. For those at home, the response was this is apparently not quite as big an issue as it used to be, but I can tell you right now there are some very high-stakes cases currently pending both in the tax court and in the Fifth Circuit dealing with the issue of self-employment tax, and I have been in the process of, I've lectured a number of times here at this program on self-employment tax, SECA, if you will, in LLCs and in limited partnerships. And I thought this was a good opportunity to kind of bring everybody up to date as to what the issue is and how it may be resolved. And I want to start by taking a term that I heard in the 60s. A friend of mine who's a radio announcer introduced his cat to me as Isla Gayet. Isla Gayet is an important word, I think, for a lot of things that you've been hearing about over the last couple of days. It certainly applies here. Isla Gayet is not a medieval prince or anything else. Isla Gayet is, it seemed like a good idea at the time. And Isla Gayet is the proper answer to the question, what could they have been thinking? And I'm going to run through kind of what, a lot of the stuff I'm going to go through really quickly because it's all in the materials and you can read it later. But I wanted to hit a couple of points just as to how we got there. Nobody thinks much about employment taxes, but they actually are, they drive a lot of choice of entity decisions. There are still a lot of accountants who will put people into S corporations rather than LLCs or limited partnerships because they can get better employment tax treatment. And historically, and I will just hit this quickly, we had what we call the OASDI, which is the 12.9% self-employment tax that covers Social Security, came into effect in 1935 and was adopted not as a general fund kind of tax, but as a separate sort of insurance being assessed against tax, wage earners. And it was done for a very specific reason. And the idea there was that Roosevelt wanted this to be a program that stuck. And if people thought of it as an insurance program instead of a government handout, there was a much better chance that the whole Social Security system would be preserved. And so it started out that it was a certain percentage of the wages divided between the employer and the employee up to what we call a benefit base. And the benefit base has gone up over time. It started out at $1,000. It's right now at about $168,000. That was good, but that left a lot of people uncovered because they were self-employed. And so what happened in 1950, they brought in a similar tax, which they called SECA, or self-employment tax, that worked the same way. It was a tax, except this one was assessed directly on the individual workers. And in the SECA, they said, and one kind of self-employed person was going to be a partner in a partnership. And again, the rates of tax went up, the benefit base went up, and went along, and nobody paid much attention to it.